As you open your mind, let life be the thought. As you open your eyes, let life be the glow. As you open your ears, let life be the melody, layer after layer after layer. Good evening. And you know what day it is, and you know what time it is, and you know the familiar voice of that one. Yes, 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 it's Boss RJ, and this is Mission Possible Radio Show. Destiny, destiny, is there any more time for me? I have time to pray. I do this way. Declare that it has been one rainy day over here on the Big Island. Oh, low clouds coming in, and I give thanks for it. Increases the greenery. Yes, my sympathies go out to the Southwest, at which we had just left. Yes, it feels so good to be back home. I love Sedona. I have a desire to return and cross the sea of forgetfulness many, many times. Only I would like to bring people forward and backward. It was an experience. There is so much life in the desert. There are so many things that can save us in that desert. Oh, my goodness, it thrives. This is the way it is. The boss is energized. It's been 12 years since Sativa and I stepped foot on to the mainland. And I'm going to tell you something. As much as people were trying to dog it, I don't know, but it must be the power of the Most High that allowed us to enjoy it. And I want to thank all the TSA employees throughout all of the states that we touched down in, because we did go cheapo air, which means is that we did sit down quite a few times and spend time in each one of these airports. And I can only say from Honolulu to Salt Lake to Phoenix and back again, we had a blast. And let me tell you something, if you're really in the spirit, then you will be treated as such. I cannot defy or deny you. This is what we try to teach. I saw Dr. Len in the flesh. Oh, my goodness, he was just absolutely amazing. And Scott Huckabee, they opened up the Raw Spirit Fest. Yes, it was everything he could be on a golf course. I have political thoughts about golf courses, but I was able to advance beyond my thoughts and have a good time anyhow. It was exciting. I saw David Wolf, and oh, we saw people that stare at the sun, and we've seen people who sing phenomenally. I even met some guy named Scott who's a troubadour, and I'm going to try and put this up on my website, but he stood on this machine that shook you left and right and just jiggle, 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 jiggle you. And he had just had himself a good time making up a song. And I just want to let everybody know out there that I'm going to try and post these things. I'm getting smart. Ever since I came from the mainland, I realized just how important it is to keep connected. Even if we're going to have these grids, one day they're going to go down. At least for one moment, we can all be connected and know the truth of the matter is that we are all one, that we're all standing and breathing under this same sun, and the mission is possible. And if you don't remember, I got to say it one more time. My father said, repeat after me, and I hope that you all out there will do the same. We, the unwilling, who have been led by the unqualified, have been doing the unbelievable for so long with so little. We now attempt to do the impossible with nothing. That's right, with nothing. Ah, the definition of nothing. That could be a show all in itself. Numbers is what this show, this evening, Mission Possible, is about. Now, on BBS Radio, we got a man named Mr. Destiny. Yes, Robert Camp, who has done the world great service by introducing them to the cause, by thinking about it, by bringing it to the masses. And, you know, even over on when we were at Raw Spirit, it was amazing how many people actually already knew what card they were. And what I thought, it was such an amazing trip that I thought perhaps we might even begin to discuss that this evening. And so this evening, I'm proud to say that I have a friend of mine of over 20 years going to be joining us here if everything goes right and all the levels are right. And we're going to be talking about the cards. Yes, an ordinary or maybe not ordinary deck of cards. You know, like when you go to Vegas and you're looking at all of them or playing solitaire, that all is divine and that the divinity has been left in a matrix that almost coincides with the daily vibrations, no matter what, ether, time zone, whatever. We all come in on this here vibration, and it all has to do, and you got to be honest, with your date of birth. But before we get into that, let's have a little interrogation. I'd like to welcome my guest tonight, Sativa Jones.
Hi.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. Well, then let's get this party going on. You know, I was telling everybody that I guess I described you as a card reader. Is that a way to perhaps introduce you to the world?
I like that idea. Yeah, that's what I'm doing is I'm looking at people's month and day that they were born, and then depending on the month and day, we're all a certain card in the deck of cards. In the regular playing deck of cards, we're all one of those decks. Some of us are royal cards, and some of us are diamonds, and some of us are clubs with the different suits. And yeah, so then from that, we determine what card you are, and that talks about your destiny in this world and what part of what your life path is going to be. You know, it's your frequency when you came in. So, yeah, I guess I'm a card reader.
Well, why don't you tell everybody I'd like to know how you got involved. I mean, I do know, but I want you to tell everybody else out there how you actually come to know this system.
Okay, well, it was really a magical way. I was in the car with a friend of mine, with a friend of mine, Beth, and RJ, and we were riding past the dump. And in Hawaii, where I'm from, the Big Island of Hawaii, where I live, you ride past the dump. Everybody takes their trash to the central area. And a lot of times you'd go by there, and people would put things that they thought were valuable, but they were throwing out, they didn't want anymore. They would put it out, so people would go and kind of go shopping at the dump kind of thing. Well, my friend and I, we were all riding the car, and we were riding to go get lunch, and we saw that somebody had put out lots of boxes at the dump, and there were some people walking around looking at the boxes. And so we decided to pull over and look and see what was in the boxes. Well, it was magical because what was in the boxes was every box was filled with books. And they weren't used books. They were books that had never been touched before. They were brand new books. And they were in every box. And all the books seemed to have a theme of metaphysics, of spirituality. And so we all just started pulling out books that we wanted and taking the books. And that day I took this book called The Love Cards. So I actually got the book at the dump, and absolutely, I actually got the one that was, there's two books, the Love Cards and the Destiny Cards. And so I got these books, and I started to look at them, and then I put them on my shelf, actually, and didn't look at them. Then my friend from California came, and he said, I just started looking at those books. And I was like, oh, wow, because I had gotten so many books that day, I didn't look at those in particular. And so then he came out and he pointed it to my attention. And that's when I started reading the book and found it fascinating. The first thing I did was look at my birthday and look at what card I am and then read about that card. And I realized from that there was so many consistencies and so much truth speaking about me, and I thought, well, you know, how could this be? How could this book, you know that based on the day and the month I was born? And so since then, I've been doing readings for people, and I've really stopped questioning the accuracy of this book because it is so incredibly accurate for people. And that's how I got into it.
Now, when you say accurate for people, give me an experience like where you actually were working it and all of a sudden there was the big aha for someone.
Okay. What I like to do is I like to do relationship readings, and not just romantic relationships, but all kinds of relationships, relationships you have with your parents and your family. And so I'll find out your card in the deck, and then oftentimes I'll ask people for their parents' cards and then how their card relates to their parents' card. It really is like a form of psychology, or it really throws the whole psychology idea out, because when you look at this, it's like some people, I can almost tell, if you tell me your birthday and then your parents' birthday, I can tell from the cards whether or not you got along with your mother or whether you got along with your father, how close the people were in the family to your sister and your brother. And it's incredibly accurate. And so for some people, I'll do a reading for them and I find out, I say, oh, you and your mother, you were connected through the planet Saturn. You know, you're life enemies. And then, you know, lo and behold, the person would say, I can never get along with my mother. We fought the whole time. We don't even speak anymore. You know, this is often the case. Or I say, oh, your mother, look at that. She had her best friend. Your cards sit right next to each other on the chart of life. You know, and they'll say, yes, my mother and I are very close. So a lot of it, you know, in terms of how we got along with the people in our family, and how we get along with people just in the world, is we're all putting out frequencies, and the frequencies of our number, of our card. And that's why, you know, we can find each other in a crowd, the cards that we're supposed to connect with. And then other cards that we're not supposed to connect with, it'll be like you look at a person and you just don't feel any connection to them at all. That's a card you're not connected to, or a card you should stay away from. Then you'll meet another person, you'll say, I don't know, it was just a feeling I had, I felt close to them. And then you do your cards and you find out you're very connected on the chart.
One of the things that I really like about the cards is that it cuts to the chase and gives you an opportunity to actually communicate what's going on in your life in relation to the day itself. Today is Sunday, or at least here in Hawaii it is still Sunday, and that would make it what day? It's 10/21/2007. So what would that be in the cards today?
Okay, well, today is the Ace of Clubs. And the Ace, you know, the Ace is, you really have a sense when you meet Aces, too. Aces are like, you know, they're into themselves, they're the one, they don't really need anyone else to actualize themselves. So people will be doing things alone today, in a way. They have that sense of self today, very strongly with an Ace day. It's a new beginning, new ideas day. And then every day also, everybody is a certain card in the deck, and then everybody also has a rising, or what Robert Camp calls a planetary ruling card. And this is really the face we show the world. So, like, for example, I'm the Six of Clubs, and the face I show the world is the Six of Spades. So it means, like, I'm not actually the Six of Spades, and it just happens that I'm a double six. Most people are actually two different cards. It's the card that I am inside is the Six of Clubs. But the Six of Spades, that's the face I show the world, and that's the card that I depend a lot on, that helps me in this world. It gives me a lot of advice in this world. I'm not actually that card, but yet you can tell a lot about me by the fact of my rising card. And also, what's one of the exciting things in this is that everybody has a karma card. Almost everybody, except for a few cards, but almost every card has a card that they owe, and they have a card that owes them. And often what I'll find with people is that these cards keep coming in and out of their life at different times. The card that you owe, the universe, I notice, often sends a person that is hard to pay, a person that might annoy you, a person that keeps asking you for something. Well, actually, that's your karma card. That's the card you owe. So it's important for us to know what card we are and who we owe, so we don't go send that person packing when really we need to pay that person. And when I say pay, I mean when you meet your karma card, when they ask you for something, if you give them that something, like I was just in Sedona and I met my karma card and he was cold, so I went and got him my poncho. By giving to your karma card, you're actually receiving benefits yourself. So you really want to give to your karma card, because you'll receive those benefits. It's the same way where if you don't give to your karma card, if you know, oh, I'm cold, do you have a coat? No, I don't, because I don't want to lend him my poncho, you know. Then you're actually going to suffer for that action in a way that you wouldn't with the other cards. So very important to find out who you owe and who owes you.
Now, where did all this come from?
Well, that's interesting. That was my search when I first got this. Like, how did this book happen? How did this come about? And part of what I studied is that Robert Camp, who wrote the Destiny Cards and the Love Cards, he got his book, and I believe he got his information from Your Place in the Cards, this woman, Edith. And I'm trying to think of Edith's last name. I can't remember it right now.
Is it Campbell?
Is it Campbell? It might be Campbell. Edith Campbell, perhaps. And she got it from a monk. His name is Olney Richmond, and he wrote the Mystic Test book. And so it kind of started with him. I can't really find anybody past him. So basically what the theory is that, okay, there was a time, and perhaps this is in Lumeria, this is before the Earth, you know, the Earth is tilted, but when we were straight up and down, before everything broke apart, when we were just one planet, one continent, until instead of when everything, you know, separated. When everybody knew their card, I knew my card, you knew your card, everybody knew their card. And people, not only their card, but they knew the vibe of the day, because every day is a card. So that's how they made their business agreements, that's how they made their marriages, that's how they made their friendships. They knew about the cards. And it was very important. Instead of saying today is Sunday, you would say, no, today is an ace day. These were, you know, you wouldn't think about Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. You think about what card it was, and you would know what to do. We all had this information, and it helped us in this world navigate through this world. Well, when the continents broke apart and a lot of the Earth changes happened, somehow this information went underground, and it went into the Masons and the Rosicrucians. They kept a tight hold. They know about this stuff. They kept a tight hold on it. They decided they didn't want us to know about our destiny. And so this information was no longer, we no longer had access to this information. And so what happened was this monk, Brother Richmond, in order to keep this information alive, a group of people who didn't want it just to go to the Masons but wanted everybody to know about it, the only way they could give it to the masses was to turn it into a deck of cards, was to turn it into a game. That's the only reason we still had access to it, was because they were able to put it in as a game. And so what they did was they took papyrus paper and they inscribed the deck of cards, the first one. It's not a deck of cards. It's not a game. It's actually a mystic test book. It's a code, just like the Da Vinci Code or anything else. This is a code book for all of astrology to meet you, to find your month and your day, to know what planet you'll come from, to know what connections, not planet you come from, but what planet rules you in this world. And so the deck of cards existed as a game. We stared at all the symbols, the spades, the clubs. You know, people go to Vegas and they stare at these sacred symbols. And so slowly with Brother Richmond, Olney Richmond, he actually showed us these charts that were in the Masonic writings, and they're all just number charts. Well, they actually are cards. Now, one of the ways you know that the deck of cards is really old is that if you take the Tarot deck, a lot of people think the deck of cards was based on the Tarot. It's not true. The Tarot is based on the deck of cards. The deck of cards came before the Tarot. One of the ways you know this is that the Tarot, we know everyone who wrote the Tarot. You know everyone who illustrated the Tarot, Aleister Crowley. We know all their names. But yet we don't know who wrote the deck of cards, who owns it, where it came from. We have no idea. In fact, you can walk around, if you're the King of Hearts, you can walk around with a big King of Hearts on your T-shirt. Nobody can sue you because nobody owns the image. The other way that you know it's really old is when I first became involved in this, I became really fascinated about the symbols, the sacred symbols, the spade, the club, the diamond, and the heart. And I really wanted to know where they came from. And so I contacted Robert Camp through the email, and I asked him where the sacred symbols came from. And he wrote me back, and he said that this information has been lost, that he doesn't know, and that nobody knows. And so I thought, well, if nobody knows, and I thought about that, I didn't like that answer, but I thought, well, if nobody knows, I'm going to ask the cards themselves. And so I don't know if I can describe this on the phone or you have to do it visually, but I put my hands up in the air in the prayer position, and I asked the cards, could you please give me some insight on the sacred symbols? And as I put my hands down, I separated them just so the thumbs met at the bottom and the pointer fingers met at the top. So I went from the prayer position to that position where you have the two pointer, and if people are listening, if they do that, put your two pointer fingers together and put your two thumbs together, and you'll see the spade. Then if you invert the thumbs and you point them down, you'll see the heart. If you hold your hands in a cup, like you're going to pour water in your hands and you're going to cup your hands, you'll see the and you leave a little hole at the bottom, you'll see the diamond. And then the club is a little harder to do, but I can do it with my hands, but I think I have to show it. But what I realize is that these sacred symbols came from the mudras of our hands. And in fact, I can make hearts with lots of different, my arms can make hearts. I can make all these, I can make diamonds with my thumbs and pointer fingers really, really small. I can make small diamonds. This, my friend Mitch showed me all these different ways that you can make hearts and diamonds with the body. We were created in these images. They come from the body. They're part of what links us to our Creator. And these are, when we look at the symbols and meditate on the symbols, these connect us back to how we were made and how we operate in this world through frequencies. You know, we're all really emitting the frequency of our card, even though we don't, you know, we may not know that we're emitting this frequency. Like some people say, we're holograms. Well, we're holograms that are emitting a frequency. And that's the divine matrix. We all fit in that frequency, and with some, we don't resonate. That's not a good card for us. That frequency doesn't hook up with my frequency. But other people, you'll meet them, and your frequencies just hook up immediately. I do a lot of relationship kind of counseling with it, where I look at the two cards, and I say, okay, you're connected to the planet Venus. There's really a lot of love between you. You're connected to the planet Jupiter. There's an abundance flowing back and forth you like to give to each other. And I find that almost everybody who I do that's married and been in a long-term relationship, their cards are very connected on the chart. The only time I don't find this to be true is in immigration marriages, when people get married for green cards and things like that. Often I find their cards are not connected at all. It's really a very accurate system. And it's exciting for more people to learn this system, to just discover more about themselves and their destiny.
What kind of people do you think would benefit from this type of system that we have for this, to be able to get so much information about an individual? You should be able to look at the school records of a child and see a whole lot of things going on. Do you see this being used as a tool in psychology or in quick intakes and corporations and other things like that?
Yeah, RJ, I think those are perfect. Exactly. Those are the exact places you can use them to see who you're going to work with if you're hiring people. Find out what cards you're hiring. Some people are just there to give you problems. You know, look at their cards. And then Robert also has this book, The Destiny Cards. And that what he did is he took these charts that are in Edith's book, and he turned them into your lines of destiny. The charts come from Richmond, only Richmond. These are very ancient charts, and they all come from placing the cards in a certain pattern. They call it the life spread. And from the deck of cards, it's a mathematical equation, but you can do it. It takes a long time, but you can generate everybody's lines of destiny. So you can really see if this is a good year. When is your pinnacle year? That's when your whole life is coming to a conclusion of what your cause is that you've made so far. You know, everyone has a pinnacle. Well, almost everybody has a pinnacle year. For example, and this is kind of interesting, well, kind of gruesome in a way, but it's interesting just to explain the pinnacle year. It really shows you what your life is all about. In my pinnacle year, I got a lot of different things that I had really wanted for a long time. You're looking at O.J. Simpson and looking at the whole case with his first wife and everything. It just so happens that his wife, Nicole, and Ron Brown, the waiter, they were both in their pinnacle year when that happened to them, when they were murdered. And you think, God, well, how could they be in their pinnacle year? But you look at Nicole's life, and you think about the fact that she was with O.J. for so long, because he was so famous. And she put up with so much abuse from him because she had her children, she had her reputation, she had her life with him. And there was a part of that she really enjoyed, the fame, the fortune that came along with being married to someone like O.J. And then all the bad stuff, the torture. Well, in her pinnacle years, she became infamous. She became famous. If she wanted fame, if she truly deep down inside wanted to be famous, that's what she got in her pinnacle year. And that's what your pinnacle year is about. Whatever your life, whatever your true wish is, and the causes that you've made, those are what are going to manifest in your pinnacle year.
You know, I find it kind of interesting. I worked in the mental health field, and I had a way of doing what was called psychological autopsies, taking a particular aspect of a person's life, an incident, a crisis, whatever it is, and looking at it and taking it apart and seeing where that person was at that particular time. It appears to me that that's exactly what the destiny cards is all about. That's what the destiny line is all about, that you can peer into the future, the past, or the present, and see exactly what you're resonating in terms of it, and then be honest and evaluate it from what you're feeling and doing at that particular time. It is incredible, folks, when you begin to use this. I want to get into kind of like more of the historical aspect of it, like I shoot a date at you that everybody recognizes as being 911. We've already done this. And there were certain awarenesses that you brought to me about that particular day, September 11th, 2001. And I thought it would be interesting for you to share that with the audience.
Okay. The 911 is the King of Clubs, Jack of Diamonds. And the reason that's significant is if you look at America's birthday, which is July 4th, that's the Jack of Diamonds, King of Clubs. The Jack of Diamonds is the card, and the King of Clubs is the face you show the world. Now, the Jack of Diamonds, he's the salesman card. That is America's birthday, and that's America's card. We're the salesman. He's not a very honest salesman. Sales are everything to him, and the Jack can be very secretive and very tricky. The Jack lives his life. The Jack of Diamonds lives most of their life on the Neptune line. So it's born on the Neptune line, and it lives its life on the Neptune line. So there's a lot of fantasy attached to it, you know, streets paved with gold, all that stuff about America. The rising of the card is the King of Clubs, the master communicator. Now, those are the two cards of America. 911 is the King of Clubs, Jack of Diamonds. It's the two cards, but they're the opposite of each other. One, Jack of Diamonds, King of Clubs, July 4th, 911, King of Clubs, Jack of Diamonds. So it's America's two cards, but it's the reverse. So we could look at that and we could say it's the hidden government, it's the secret government, it's the two cards but switched around. It's the hidden part of America. You know, possibly. Those are the two cards. And I also wanted to say, too, when you're looking at your charts for every year, there'll be certain years you'll have very marriageable cards on your chart, like the Queen of Hearts or the Ace of Hearts. Those are cards that you'll really feel like getting married in those years. The universe will be pushing you to have a baby, to get married. After that year is over, you no longer feel like that. But in those years, almost all the time when I am doing people's when they got married, they had those cards on their chart, pushing them, making it easier for them to make that decision. There's other years where you'll have lots of fives on your chart, and fives are very restless cards. They like to move around. They love change. They need change. And so those years when you have a lot of fives on your chart, those fives give you the strength to move around. They give you a restless feeling to where you have to leave your place. They're really a gift because they push you to learning those lessons and make it easier for you, you know. And then in the charts, times when you have nines on your chart, you know, oh, something's coming to an end in my life. Something I've had a long time is no longer good for me, and I'm getting ready to say goodbye to it. And so when you know this and you can empower yourself with this, it's really a fabulous time to make a change, to let something go, or you know, whatever your cards are, at least you understand your destiny for that year and on and on.
I want to do another date.
Okay.
Okay. This one is January 30th.
Okay. January starts with, it is the beginning, and it starts with the King of Spades. So you go 13 and 13 because of each suit. That's 26. And then you go 27, 28, 29, 30, it's 4. So this is the 10 of clubs. And the rising is in Uranus. So it would be six cards away from that. So it would be the 10 of spades. So this is a double 10. 10 of clubs, 10 of spades. In the cards, the 10s are the card of success. So this is a very successful person. And this is someone who sits, or a very successful day. And this is someone who sits at the top of the chart, the 10 of clubs. They often feel a superiority to the rest of the people. And they actually are. They sit at the very top with the master card, the King of Spades.
Okay. So that is January 30th. Now I want you to put that January 30th with the July 6th.
Okay, July starts with the 8th, so 1, that would be 5, so we're talking 9, and we're talking the 9 of diamonds, financial loss card. And then the rising is the jack of clubs. Yeah. So in terms of the 10 of clubs and the 9 of clubs, I mean the 9 of diamonds, They're very connected on the charts. They're in the same line. And then if I go to Edith's book, she'll tell me what happens when those two cards meet.
Will it?
Yes, she will.
Oh.
I'm going
then
to,
after you do that, I'm going to reveal who these two people are. And let's see just what's unfolding for these two people and see if we can do it. I love testing this stuff, folks, because, you know, you get a lot of wisdom from it. You get a lot of understanding. What are we talking about here? I think that Madam Sativa has sold more books for Robert Camp than I can't even begin to tell you. I think that everyone should begin to learn this system. I think that you could do better intakes, you could do better outtakes, you could just see where your weaknesses and strengths are, and it would just be absolutely wonderful if you were to do this. Since you're listening to Mission Possible, and that is Mission Possible Radio to you on bbsradio.com, and we're so happy to tell you that we are back and that we are enjoying ourselves, and we are talking to Madam Sativa Jones, who is, I guess I coined the phrase, a card reader extraordinaire. If there's anybody out there that want to give me a beep here and get the skinny on their card, throw a date at us, we'd be happy to let you into the conversation, all two of you out there that's listening. What did you get that information on Edith there?
Oh, yeah, I did. And I would love for anyone to call in. I would do your card and answer some questions about that. That would be great. Okay, when the Nine of Diamonds meets the Ten of Clubs, and that's what's great about Edith's book. She actually tells you what happens when you meet the certain cards on your destiny line. It says, a knowledgeable person who can always liven up a discussion, negotiate a business deal. Not advisable for romance. Your lives are on different wavelengths. Business and friendship is good. So, yeah, so this is someone I would say, of course, you know, you're very connected, do business, be friends, and, you know, there's a certain romantic aspect to all the cards, you know, that the books that have been written about them, you know, who is your ideal card and how you get along with this card. So all the readings are kind of based in that way. Mm-hmm. Is this a good romantic partner for you? But you can just, you know, if it's not a romantic situation, you know, friends or mother and son or whatever, you can just, you know, change the meanings to fit the situation.
Well, these two individuals are very famous and very much in everyone's life. You know, I take a break from getting political, but the two people, the July 6th was Bush and Cheney, January 30th. Yeah.
Good for business.
Good
for... Not for romance.
Not for romance. Well, I hope Bush will remember that. Idol worship can be a terrible thing.
Yeah, Bush is the Nine of Diamonds, and this is the financial loss card for us. We're seeing that in America, you know, $1 billion a day or whatever the war is costing us that he's gotten us involved in. You know, he's here to bring us financial ruin. And you look at the dollar, it's at its all-time lowest at 77.13, I think it went today. Yeah, he's bringing us financial loss. He's actually doing exactly what his destiny is telling him to do. This is so perfect that we're getting this from the Nine of Diamonds. He's going to bring us financial ruin, and that's what his card is all about.
Wow, that's heavy stuff, Madam Sativa. Whoa, financial loss. Did I hear a beep?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Oh, boy, we have a caller, Madam Sativa.
Hi, aloha.
Aloha. I believe my card is the Nine of Clubs.
Oh, you're the Nine of Clubs, the sexy Nine of Clubs.
Oh, really?
That's what they call your card. What is your birthday?
July 19th.
That's right, you're the Nine of Clubs. And your rising, the face you show the world, is the Jack of Hearts, the Jesus card.
Mm.
People are often possibly asking you for help, to do things for them. The Nine of Clubs is a great card. Part of your whole destiny here is to get people to change their minds about things.
Mm-hmm.
You're here to take old ideas and replace them with new ideas for people.
That's what I do.
That's what you do. I'd love to do a date for you if you have somebody else in your life.
The most wonderful man in the whole world.
What is his birthday?
August 12th.
Okay, August starts. Let's see.
Well, you know, I'm really happy that you called and that you're one of the two people out there that have been listening this evening.
Oh, I catch your show regularly. I really, really enjoy it. And you have wonderful presenters on and marvelous ideas.
Oh, great.
Wow, thank you. Thank you very much.
I say, yay. Okay, I'm looking at that. Okay, you're together with the Ace of Diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you guys are connected on the diagonal through the planet Venus, which
mm-hmm.
is the love planet. And when you're connected through the diagonal on the chart, it means the feeling is running both ways the same way.
Mm-hmm.
If it was connected to the horizontal or the vertical, the feeling, that Venus feeling, would only be running one way. But yours is diagonal, so the love, the Venus planet, is connected, is running both, and it's running to the same degree.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a double ace, which means the face, because everybody in Leo is the same card. So the face he's showing the world is the face he is. So that's why the Leos are so intense. Now, it will say in this book what happens when you guys meet. And I'm going to look at that.
Do you concur with anything that Madam Stevie is saying there?
Oh, yes. He is intense, and he's a powerful person.
Uh-huh. That's it.
He doesn't abuse it, but when he walks in the room, you know it.
Okay, this is what Edith says in her book. She says, when you meet the Ace of Diamonds, and she's very hard, you know, on people. She's really very truthful and very hard on people. So this is really a really good one. It says, one of the best romantic involvements you can have, although you may never fully understand them. Love, protection. Possibility of disillusionment in the beginning. You may think they have more money than they do or something involving that, but not enough to stand in the way of pursuing someone who is good to you and who loves you.
Mm-hmm.
A reciprocal involvement. But you may give them many more problems than they give you. Enjoy it. That's what
Ooh.
It says. And then she's really, it's really hard to find your best match in hers because she's very critical, but that's a really good one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you've really met someone who's crucial. Do you guys have children?
No, we don't.
Okay, because I just do the children too. I like to do that. Do you have any other dates that you'd like to give me? Your mother or father?
No, not really. I just was very curious and I've got the love cards and the cards of destiny, but they're not clicking in my computer, and maybe I just would like to make them work a little better. I had heard there was a computer program that you could install.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet, but someone I taught the cards has now got the computer program and is doing readings with it. I would recommend that you also look for Edith's book, Your Place in the Cards.
Okay.
That's where Robert got his information from.
Mm-hmm.
And she really gives you, you know how Robert will tell you basically all the cards that you get along with. He'll give you the numbers,
mm-hmm.
and he'll tell you what your compatibility, your attraction, and your intensity is. You know
mm-hmm.
that, those numbers? Well, in her book, she doesn't do that. She only does the cards on the chart you touch. Only the ones you're connected to vertically, horizontally, and diagonally.
Oh, nice.
And so the Ace of Diamonds is on your line of destiny. Yeah, this is someone that you're connected to them in heaven and on the life chart. So this is someone you will find in a crowd. You'll meet them anywhere you go.
It was so funny. I was walking. We went on vacation together, and I was walking through the Norman Rockwell Museum in the Berkshires. And you know how you don't see, you see energy, but you don't see people?
Huh.
You're not honed in. You see a whole crowd of people, maybe, you know, 400 people or something, and you just kind of let that whole, you know, like there's leaves on the trees. And I walked in the room, and my consciousness went, oh, what a handsome man. And they went, oh, that's my husband.
Yeah, that's truly a love connection. You guys share the planet Venus.
Wow,
that's beautiful.
There is one date where I have never been able to make a connection with that person. Tried. It's 12/28. It's just that the destiny isn't there.
Okay, let's find out what card that is.
And while we're doing that, we'll do a station identification. You're listening to BBSRadio.com, and you are listening to the Mission Possible radio show with our guests, Madam Sativa Jones, and an exciting happening, a guest, a call-in, who wants to know something. Boy, I'm happy for that.
Okay, this person is the Three of Hearts, and like you said, you're actually not connected to that person, either on the life spread or on the spiritual spread of life. There's no connection. There is a connection with your rising, with their rising and your card. So the face they show the world and the face and the card that you are, so they're a double three. They're the Three of Hearts, Three of Diamonds. You don't connect with the Three of Hearts at all. But the face they show the world, the Three of Diamonds, connects with your card.
Mm.
And it actually connects through Uranus.
Mm.
Uranus is your spiritual friend planet, but it's a very, very distant planet. And so best to access that at a distance.
Mm-hmm.
It's not good to get too close to your Uranus card.
Mm.
Now, like I said, that's just the face they show the world, their actual card you don't have a connection to. But then their card and your rising have a connection. They're both hearts. And they're actually connected through Pluto, which is not the best connection.
Mm.
So, yeah, this is a person, exactly, that doesn't have a connection with your cards, but you both, if you're dealing with each other's, the face you show the world, you have a connection to the face they show the world, which kind of tells you to stay away. And the face they show the world has a connection to your card, and then your face that you show the world, the Jack of Hearts, has a connection to the Three of Hearts, but through Pluto, also not a good connection. So yeah, I can understand why you guys have not had a connection,
mm-hmm.
but have a bit of a connection, but not a great one.
No, it's just, you wonder in the relatives, you go, why could I never connect with that person?
Yeah, and that's a very unique card. There's not many Three of Hearts walking around.
Mm-hmm.
There's only, I think, two chances to be Three of Hearts.
Wow.
As compared to how many chances to be a club?
Well, like to be Nine of Clubs, there's 12 chances.
Oh, wow.
Clubs and diamonds, they rule the world. The hearts and the spades, there's very few of them.
Hmm.
You know, I want to get back to the question that you had from Adam Sativa, how, you know, to learn a computer program. I'm telling you, it starts with your study groups. It starts with your next friend that can get the book, and you start talking to each other, and you start talking in the language of the cards. I watched Madame Sativa do it with all of the people that she's turned on to the cards.
Mm-hmm.
And you just get into finding that other person to talk to about it and begin to do the readings for the day and the readings for yourself as it relates to the days. Wouldn't you say, Madame Sativa?
Mm-hmm. And I was just looking at your karma cards. Do you know your karma cards?
No, I don't know my karma cards.
The person that you owe the Queen of Hearts. And the person that owes you is the Six of Diamonds. So in your travels, you learn about the cards and how to read, you know, you have the book.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the cards that you owe and that owe you. And those are really important to keep aware of who's coming into your life.
Mm-hmm.
And how you can pay them or how they're supposed to be paying you.
And I think you can find out what birth dates those are in the book itself, right? The Love Code book. I mean, not the
mm-hmm.
Love Code book. Excuse me, the Love Card book.
Yeah, the Love Card book.
Wrong show.
Okay.
Well, we want to thank you for calling in. I don't know if there's another call out there, but... I just want to thank you. Is there anything else you want to say before you sign
no,
off?
No, I mean, just incredible information. It really coincides with what I know. I mean, you know, it's kind of like when you do the regular astrology and you find out that you've got Venus in Gemini conjunct the Ascendant, and then you've got Uranus conjunct the Ascendant, and oof.
Oh, so you connected with this other person with the regular astrology through Venus as well?
Yeah, Uranus and Venus are in conjunction in the first house and the ascendant.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Yeah, I'm finding that astrology is connected. I did a reading for someone and connected their planets, and they told me they had a traditional astrology reading, and those were the planets that they were connected through.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I looked at that and I said I must be rescued on a regular basis. I think I need it. Thank you so much for taking my call and have a pleasant evening. And I really have enjoyed the show.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
You. Bye.
Bye. Wow, Madame Sativa, that was really good.
That was fun.
That was a lot of fun.
Like I say, I ceased doubting the accuracy of this book. It's so, I don't question it anymore. It's very accurate.
I think we need to do more of it. You know, I think people need to know their card. I hope that everybody out there listening is at least curious and will seek information. I think that we'll just give all Mr. Destiny a plug there. What's the name of the book he wrote there, Tiva?
He wrote two books. He wrote The Love Cards, and then the second book, The Destiny Cards. Now, The Love Cards is a great book to get into in the beginning because it tells you what card you are and who you get along with and how you get along with them. And that's really fun, and it's really, really informative to learn and easy. It's a very easy workbook.
Oh, we got another call.
Okay, hi.
How are you?
Aloha.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I'm inquiring about October 6, 1956.
Okay, well, let's see your Chinese animal, too. 56, 66, 67, 68, 78, 80, 92. You're monkey, yeah? You're the monkey.
Okay.
And then October 6th. October
yeah.
starts with the 8th. So 6 minus the 8th is 2. And so, let's see, I'm going to look on this chart, too.
Well, you just broke the record. I think this is a record for Mission Possible Radio for all the guests I've had. This is two calls in a row, and they were people I know.
Yeah, you're the Three of Diamonds. And
I'm the Three of Diamonds.
Your rising is, because you said October, so the rising is Libra, is the Seven of Hearts. Okay, the Three of Diamonds, threes are all very creative. This is a number of creativity. And the Three of Diamonds is the financially creative card. You have a lot of financial creativity.
Now, we don't know if it's him yet. Is this your card, sir?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Just want to make sure we talk about yeah.
Yeah, that's a good question. Right, exactly. Okay, the Three of Diamonds is a very creative, financially creative card. Because they're so creative, and this is kind of with all the threes, it's sometimes hard for them to find love and happiness in this world. That's just part of your destiny here, to learn about that. Because you're a three. You like this one, you like that one, and then you like that third thing as well. So you wind up doing a lot of different things. You have a lot of interest in different kinds of jobs, doing this job, doing that job, doing them both. A lot of three of diamonds have two different jobs that they do, or they have a variety of jobs. And then the seven of hearts, that's the face you show the world. That's actually one of the cards that actually has the hardest life path of the whole deck, the seven of hearts. They've come to learn very spiritual lessons. Again, that's not you, but that's the face you show the world, and that card gives you a lot of advice. That's the universal love card, the seven of hearts. So the three of diamonds, let's see, I'm going right into Edith's book to see on that day. And do you have any other date that you'd like to connect with, that you'd like to see how you're connected?
With my wife. Hers is April the 2nd,
okay,
1952.
Okay, and you're very connected to that card. On the life spread, you guys sit, if you're going down, you're sitting right next to each other on the vertical, the moon connected on the vertical. And so let's look at that in terms of the book. And then April, her rising is it's the eight of diamonds. Oh, so that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's your fantasy card. So the face she shows the world, and your card, that's actually her fantasy card.
Boy, I'm almost blushing at the relationship, yeah.
And,
well, funny thing, you're saying that things come in threes, and the way number three, diamonds, actually is my third marriage.
It's your third marriage. This is a card, exactly, to find love and happiness. Exactly. One is not necessarily enough for the three. The three is very creative. It has many desires. Wants to do this, wants to marry one, wants to marry another. Let's see. This one, it says, when you meet the six of spades, you might find this person monotonous. Now, that's true about the six of spades, because we like to get in a rut. Not if you're dealing with the face they show the world with. But don't stop with this one opinion. There are far deeper caverns to explore that can actually help and sometimes be a guide in your goals and desires. Neither of you has an easy road to follow, but through a better understanding of metaphysics, which is the best kind of relationship for the two of you, you have a great deal to offer each other. Push your six of spades a little. She needs it and will ultimately be grateful if you're gentle. Yeah, the six of spades, that's my rising card. The six of spades can really get in a rut. And so you sometimes really have to, and you're a good creative card, you'll never get in a rut. You'll continuously do this and that. And so you do have to push the six of spades. And then, let's see, looking at your rising and their card is even connected. Oh, so again, you're connected to her rising. And her rising is connected to your rising. Yeah, you guys are very connected in the chart. Your third wife, I'm just wondering about the other ones. Do you know their birthdays?
My kids.
Oh, your kids?
I'm sorry, say it again?
I was saying with your other wives. I was curious what their birthdays were.
I wouldn't want to know.
Won't go there.
I don't want to remember.
Won't go there, yeah. yeah, if you want to do your kids, I can do your kids as well.
Oh, he's going to kill me. May the 10th, 1982.
Okay, 82. Okay, he's a dog. Born year of the
dog. Oh, yeah, he's a dog.
Yeah.
My son, he calls himself a dog.
He does? That's
D-A-W-G.
Okay, May starts with the 5, so 5 minus 10 is 5, and so your son is the 9 of diamonds. Okay, and you are the 3 of diamonds. So basically on the spiritual spread of life, when we're all next to our cards, when the 3 of diamonds is next to the 4 of diamonds, 5 of diamonds, 6 of diamonds, 7 of diamonds, 8 of diamonds, 9 of diamonds, you guys are on the same chart. And he is your past life fantasy card. So you have some actual fantasies about your son. What that means is it means sometimes it's hard for you to see your son as he is. You see him as you want him to be. you can. See him as you want him to be. And so then when you guys get really close, that reality might hit you because he might not be living up to quite all of your ideals about him. But yet you're connected to this same line on the spiritual spread, the beginning and the end of the Saturn line. And he's Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus. Oh, I'm sorry. I did that wrong. I hate when I do that. He's not your fantasy card. Forget all that I just said.
Just wipe it out of your mind.
Wipe it out of your mind. He's your Uranus card.
There you go.
Say it again. My what?
Your Uranus card. And that is, Uranus is your spiritual friend card. Your sun has brought you a lot of spiritual energy in your life.
That sounds more like it.
Yeah, sorry. That's right. I miscounted. I hate when I do that. Okay. Yeah.
He's got interest in what I do in the future, not now, but he may seriously consider going into the future of what I do for a living.
Uh-huh.
I thought me encouraging him, if you feel like you can, if you don't want to, you don't have to. So, but he feels that he has to, or he feels that he wants to learn, but it's going to take time for him to decide to come around.
Uh-huh.
He won't make up his mind until he's probably in his late 20s, early 30.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You guys live together?
Do you see, actually, would he ever go into the same kind of work as me?
He wants to go into the same kind of work as you?
In the future.
Uh-huh.
Would he ever consider it?
Okay, well, what I was going to say is, he's your Uranus card. He's here to bring you spiritual energy. Do you guys live together in the same house?
No,
that's actually perfect. That's actually better for you, to tell you the truth. Because Uranus is best accessed at a little bit of a distance. It's good to put a little bit of distance between you and your Uranus card.
We're 1,400 miles away from each other.
How much?
1,400 miles away from each other.
Let me tell you, that's perfect for your destiny. And it might be hard for him to understand that, but he came in and chose to have his father as his Uranus connection. This is a very distant planet, very distant. So when you get too close to your Uranus card, you have problems. If you guys are at a little bit of a distance, if you put distance between you, then you can really actualize the best part of your relationship. Yeah, and that might be hard for both of you because it's father and son, and you won't want that distance. But that really is actually the best manifestation of a Uranus connection.
Well, we just got to know each other when he turned 23.
Oh, perfect.
His mother took him away from me.
Yeah, I see.
That's she married somebody else. And so he came into my life last couple of years.
Uh-huh.
So it's been the best thing we've ever had, him and I get to know each other now, than it was actually in the past. Or, well, I never did know him in the past, but he was trying to find me since he was 12 years old. His mother wouldn't let him until he made that decision.
Wow. That's amazing. So but part of his destiny as a nine, nines are really masters. They've come back to complete. He's already been all the other single digits of the diamonds, and he's now the nine, the last digit. And because of that, he has to lose a lot in this world to really gain. He has to experience loss on many levels because that's what
he has. He went through drug and alcohol abuse, and then he recovered from all that. He went to the health centers and.
Nines are really masters, and they go through these situations where you think, God, you've really hit rock bottom. This is perfect for them, to actualize their destiny as nines.
Yeah, right now he works with mentally handicapped.
I'm sorry, what's that?
Right now he works with the mentally handicapped.
Mm-hmm.
So he's always felt that he needs to be near people like them to help them through.
I was going to say, yeah, if the nine gives, see, they're really here to experience loss. And if they turn around and give, they'll get everything in their world. They're real givers. The nines that are on the right side of their destiny, they have to give and give. That's part of their whole blessing in this world. If they don't give, they'll never be happy. There's other cards that don't have to give at all. They can take, and then they'll still actualize their destiny. But his card is really a card of service.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Wow. Awesome. Well, thank you for sharing.
And thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Wow, this is a record, We're coming down to the end of the show. Don said we could go on. I don't know if there's another caller out there, but if there was, we would take one more call. Also want to let you know that Madam Sativa is going to be joining us here on the Big Island for a Happy New Year. Yes, Dr. Len and Reverend Roxy and friends are all going to be joining here. And if you want to know more about that, you can call 888-508-4787. And Madam Sativa will be doing personal destiny readings, and she'll also be having a bit of an intensive class. Isn't that right, Sativa?
Oh, thank you for saying that, RJ. Yeah, at the retreat in Hawaii, if anybody wants to come to Hawaii for Christmas, we're having a lovely retreat here at Vistine Vents. It's a beautiful land and property here that's owned by Dr. Leonard Horowitz, and they have steam vents and warm ponds, and we're going to be doing a health and healing retreat. I'm going to be doing an intensive course here where I can teach you, you come in my class, I'll teach you how to read the cards, how to tell. It's simple math, really. If I can do it, anybody can do it. It's very, very simple. I can show you the chart, show you how to determine what a person's card is by the month and the day, get into the Chinese animal, because that's very important in terms of compatibility as well, and teach you about their cards, and we can do a day intensive. So, yeah, if you want to be a part of that, that's a really, you can go to the website. What's the web?
Well, I think the web, you just go to drlenhorowitz.com, but more than that, we just gave you the telephone number there, and I'll give it to you again, 888-508-4787, or you can call here, 808-965-2112, and register, and that's going to be December 27, 2007, through Wednesday, January 3rd, 2008. We're also having one in the spring, but we'll talk about that another time. At this point, I want to tell everybody out there, have a good week. Sativa Jones, Madam Sativa, you are just divine, and I hope to have you back on. I know success when I see it. I see people really enjoyed your presentation.
Awesome. Thank you, RJ, and thanks for an opportunity to be on your show.
I thank God for this opportunity, and I thank God for you.
Oh.
All right. Well, that's it for us. And now don't forget to listen to Reverend Roxy and Dr. Len Horowitz on the Inside Hour on Tuesdays. Yes, we'll be coming same time, same beautiful station, bbsradio.com. It rocks. And you know, if you're listening to me, it can't be mainstream. It's bbsradio.com. Aloha.